Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Awakenings with Michelle Meshe, the weekly dose of spiritual and metaphysical insights and information for navigating the soul path. Listeners are invited to call into the show for a reading or with questions and comments. Call 347-539-5122 and press 1 on the keypad. Also, join the Sacred Space of Empowerment live chat. To create a username, register with Blog Talk Radio. It's great to connect with all of you here.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the program. Welcome all of you listening later via iTunes and, of course, the archives. I know you're with us here in spirit. We have a great program coming up for you today. Of course, we have our readings in the beginning, dream interpretation. If you'd like to chat, you can just call in at 347-539-5122. Press 1 on the keypad that lets me know that you want to get on air. And, of course, you can also listen via the Sacred Space of Empowerment Room, also known as the chat room. And I just love that. Two of our great listener participants, Tamara and Drita, nicknamed that years ago, and it kind of stuck, right? The name kind of stuck. So I see people getting in the chat room, my co-pilots and co-hosts. They help really ground the energy of the program as well. You can also always email me at awakenings@selfandlight.com or awakeningsradio@gmail.com with your email questions, guest suggestions, topic suggestions, and that'll get to me and I'll answer them on air. And we have a few. What I try to do is pick a few that represent what we are have been talking about, or if I find that there's quite a few emails on a specific topic or similar topics, then I will tend to cover that as well. And then, of course, we'll have our Awakened guest coming on at 12:50, and that's David Almeida, who's a spiritualist and a researcher of the Rosicrucian philosophy and esoteric knowledge. We have a lot to ask him, a lot to focus on. And we'll be talking to him about his book, The First Truth, a book of metaphysical theories and illusion of the body, which is also introducing the body alive principle. So you definitely want to stick around for that as well. Maybe at the little mini break, get a little tea or something, coffee, a little juice, and come back on. So I do see callers. And if we do have time, maybe we'll do it when we are at the close of our program. Last week's guest, Sister Shri, had a wonderful, which I'm trying to find it right now, on the had a wonderful cut from her new CD that's out. And, of course, she's an internationally known kirtan singer, bhajan singer, amazing band, amazing meditation teacher, and spiritualist as well. So if we can get to that, because what happened last time was not a BTR glitch, everybody. It was something with the file. The file was either corrupted, or sometimes people, especially when I noticed this, when I've had sometimes musicians on, sometimes the file is either corrupted or it's a really good file. It's a larger file, or it has more bits of information on it, and isn't easily handled by kind of secondary, you know, machinery. So that could have been it too. But so we'll see if we get to that as well. I do see callers on the line. We will get to you. And again, I just want to let you know that number is 347-539-5122. And first I want to ask a couple of questions. We have a lot of people emailing me and calling in about dreams. And last week we talked about that as well. We touched upon it about integration dreams, about people having, you know, sex in dreams, that it's usually not sexual per se, except in the point of cosmic oneness or unity and integration, usually integrating aspects of self or parts of being. And I've been getting a lot of questions from people in my workshops. which, by the way, there's a teleworkshop coming on using the subtle energy, connecting and accessing the subtle energy and metaphysical principles for manifesting. And that teleworkshop will be not this week, but the following, or no, 2 weeks from now. So it'll be on the 29th, and we'll put some links up. So right now we've been doing so much astral clearing. We've been doing so much emotional clearing, which corresponds to the astral plane, the astral body. And that's why a lot of you are saying, gosh, how come I'm getting more psychic or more aware, more intuitive, or a lot of upheaval is happening in my life. And a lot of the upheaval is so that what is more resonant for you can come back, you know, into your life or be created in your life or attracted or downloaded, however you want to look at it. So there are right now a lot of themes of this purging, cleansing, either emotionally with, you know, with water, amniotic fluid, kind of connecting into that cosmic oneness through either the birth, through the symbolism of birth, or being connected to other people. One person was asking me about a dream that they were connected to an umbilical cord, to a part of them, and that was getting birthed, and it was very light, it was very bright. Another person standing naked in the world, and then another part of them being birthed that was naked. So when this naked, you know, sometimes it can be like fear of being seen or exposed, but a lot of times it is a new vulnerable part. You know, we kind of come in the world and end in the world naked, you know, in our nakedness, our truth, our vulnerability. So a lot of these rebirth dreams, because we're having a lot of death, that's physical death. There's a lot of people that are crossing over on the planet right now, as well as death of aspects of ourselves, which is really transmutation, right? So there's been a lot of transmutation of energy and, of course, forms, which are comprised of energy as well. So for those of you that are asking about that, that is a sign that you are releasing, you know, in the process of that recalibration, requalifying energetic process, if you will, to release, to attract or manifest or draw in energy in a way that is more in resonance, more in coherence. Right, we keep talking about this coherently. I know Tammy in the chat loves this word. I do as well, being in coherence. So I hope that helps a bit. One other thing I really want to touch upon, and it's something that's kind of happened to me that I didn't realize was going on because I was just, you know, you're in the changed already and you're living it now. And those of you that have been working with me individually, you know, some of you are working with other people, so I'm sure you all could be having the same or similar experience. It's when you start doing a lot of deeper clearing work, you know, requalifying, recalibrating, a lot of inner plane work, in this, specifically in the awakening process that we're in, you know, we always talk about we're moving beyond our roles, our titles. Just showing up, being in the meditative state, you know, and allowing those divine downloads of the energy or the information from the higher self to come through. So the soul alignment is that personality, ego aspect of us, right? We're retraining the ego, healing the wounding, so that we become a seamless outpicturing or representation or just a seamless externalization, right, of our soul. That's kind of the big game that we're doing here. One of the things, and I've heard, I don't know, has anybody been feeling this more vulnerable? Well, one of the reasons you might be feeling more vulnerable is as you stop relating as a role, as you're just showing up, as you are, just as a being, as an energetic light being, as you're just being in that moment, you don't have the buffer. You don't have the filtering. Now, I'm going to give you an example. Things will be more open for you, perhaps more intense. You may start feeling even more alive and more interconnected to everyone and everything. So what happens in our society, and really watch for this, is as we go through life and we, you know, either learn something or, quote unquote, in the mainstream culture, race consciousness, society, we say we become something. Okay, now I become a teacher or a secretary or I'm a sanitation engineer or I'm a baseball player, right? Whatever we become, we now start relating from that. I hear this with a lot of my friends. Like, all of a sudden they get, you know, I'm pregnant. I got to get a mom car. Well, what's a mom car? You know, I lived in France. I lived in Italy. You know what a mom car was? It was a little convertible. A mom car. What's a dad car, right? Well, please watch this in your life right now. Where are you saying? Because what it is you're buying into something, a mental construct. You're buying into something that the media is saying. Now, I'm not saying don't get a station, don't get this or that, but make sure it's really you. You see, because otherwise what you're doing is you're putting a filtering in between your soul expression and that expression in your life. Because now you are this, well, I'm a mom, I'm a dad. Oh, I've got to get a conservative car. Oh, I've got to dress conservatively. That I'm a banker now. So how does a banker dress? How does a banker, you know, look and feel? Oh, I'm a yoga instructor. And you see this, even in the New Age communities, which I'm not really wild about that term, but you know what I mean, new thought, new, you know, spiritual, conscious living, all of that. It's like, oh, now I'm a vegan. Oh, I'm a meditator. You know, oh, I'm a yogi, so I only do this. I only talk to these people. I only eat this. And really, what people think, oh, wow, you've changed. You're so aware and enlightened because you're now this. You know, I don't drink beer. I only drink tea. I used to drink beer, but I'm not a beer drinker. I'm a tea drinker. So what? Can you feel that, you guys? I mean, it's so powerful. Or I'm a model. So you show up that way in the world. And so that every time you're relating, whether to yourself or other people, you've got all these filterings, all these roles in between. You're not naked. You're not vulnerable. And so some of you have been emailing me and some of you I've been working with have been saying, what's going on? I feel raw. I feel like a newborn. Or I don't know how to respond. You know, I'm just responding like me. Is that, I'm not sure I'm responding like a mother. This was one of my clients. A mother should respond. And I said, well, how was it? Because there's cosmic mother. We have divine mother, divine father, right? So you don't have to have children to be very mothering. In fact, I know some people that are so mothering and they don't have children, but they're amazing mothers, you know, to themselves and others. And then I've met some, you know, mothers that have children that are, they were unmothered mothers, and so they don't know how to mother. So we need to just be very aware right now, because what's birthing through us, the soul likes variety. It does not like things to be stilted, or it doesn't like the limitation. You know, it's only limited by its design. So I found it pretty profound, because I was looking at some of my things in my life, and I was like, oh, I didn't even realize I've been living roleless. I'm not showing up in these various roles. You know, I'm not showing up. And it feels different. It feels somehow even more alive, but it's a little more scary. Profundity put in the chat, dislikes labels of any kind. Yes, yes. And Tamara is saying, open and intense in a good way. Yes, vulnerable but not too exposed. Just very deeply present to the moment. I love that. I love that. Yes, it is. It is just present, and that's all it is. It's because when I'm present in the moment, then I know how to be or respond. And my titles are ways, obviously, that I'm expressing. They're, you know, like if we all showed up today and I'm talking about the weather. You know, you'd be like, okay, what's this about? So it gives us a framework. You know, our roles give us a framework, or the title gives us a framework. You go to the bank, you may chit-chat about sports, but the teller isn't going to, you know, whip out their iPhone and say, hey, did you see the scores, you know, on the, I don't know, Knicks game or whatever. So, yeah, but can you feel the freedom in this? I'm so enjoying it, and I'm seeing people kind of blossom and then stumble and go, wow, I don't know what I am. I'm just kind of me. I'm just showing up. Tamara's putting, we aren't attaching to our role so much anymore. No, and I think it makes us able to connect with each other more completely, intimately, just as life itself, that we are divine expressions of God, the all that is, source, however you want to put it, that we're so much more we always were than our titles, you know, and our roles. And I think getting stuck in them, it maybe seemed very safe, because also that's how we got love. You show up that way. You know, if you're this certain title or role, you know, maybe you're the caretaker, or you're the care. So you show up that way, and so you attract friends and maybe partners because they need the caretaker energy. Siren Dreams is saying it's nice to have that shift in here in bearing those roles we have been playing. Yeah, so you're going to find a releasing, and, you know, it just means self in a new way. And in my understanding of the shift and the awakening, that truly, you know, in the new emerging consciousness, it's always emerging. So we're always understanding and knowing more about ourselves. We're always unfolding, just as the earth is. It's this, you know, bubbling up, unfolding, revealing. And so, you know, if you're thinking that, you know, you'll know yourself for a while, but then new aspects will come through. You know, it's like the kaleidoscope. It shifts. If there's a turn of the kaleidoscope, and other colors and other, you know, shapes and forms are revealed. And I always say, you know, and think about this, everyone, the most fulfillment we ever have is when we find something that we really love or enjoy, and perhaps we didn't even know we did. We kind of fall into it, or we go, oh, I love that, or I'm good at this, or, oh, gosh, this is amazing. And it just bubbles up through us. You see it with children. You know, I think in so many ways children and little animal beings, little doggy beings, cat beings are such great teachers for us, because they're so in the moment, they let things just, they're curious. And that's the soul. That's a huge quality of the soul, is that curiosity, that unfolding, and letting it come up and happen. But see, when you're stuck to your roles, we stop that bubbling up. We stop the unfolding. Because, oh, no, I don't do that anymore because I'm in this now. Oh, no, I don't have time. No. There's so many no-nos. No. So that's shifting. And I'd love to hear from other people, too. We're going to get to the phone lines now. Let me know in the chat. And also email me. And let me know how this part of the unfolding is for you. If you're finding that, like Brett put in the chat, I so agree, very liberating, but yes, a little scary. And it is, because you don't have anything to lean on. You know, you have your connection to your inner self, but you don't, because it is easy to show up. Believe me, I've been there. I had a major contemplation. I was working with my mentor this past week, and some unfoldings have been happening, and some of you know me for a while, so, and I went, God, what is different? What's going on? You know, I'm relating different. It's just so, it's so raw, you know, it's so out there, it's so alive, you know, even more so, I can't even describe. And then I realized, I said, oh my God, you've been doing this, it's not there anymore, there's nothing to, you know, there's no crutches. There's nothing to lean back on. So it requires, you know, more use, I believe, of our spiritual tools, deeper understanding. But that is also, that revealing, you know. And a lot of you, I've been writing about this a lot on my Soul Insights blog, about the truth and honesty. You know, people, oh, you're not honest with me. And like everybody had to blab, blab, blab and just fully disclose. And that's not what honesty is. I even actually looked it up in the dictionary. It has to do with integrity, all parts coming together. So the honesty that we need is more full, radiant soul expression. You know, are we living honestly ourselves, or are we hiding parts of ourselves, or disowning parts of ourselves, or shunning parts of ourselves, or are we stuck on one aspect of our expression and cutting out the others? You know, are we honest about our true needs and wants? You know, Tamara put it in the chat, honesty with self. Thank you, Tamara. Love you. Yeah, I realize honesty and truth is really a form of self-love. And I had a misnomer that honesty was like, okay, you're not truthful saying things. But it really has not, it's not about disclosing things. it's really about living. It's about living with integrity. And, of course, integrity comes from Latin integrus, means all parts fitting together. So pretty profound. And join me, too, on my blog. You know, and you can leave comments, share your insights. It's Soul Insights for Spirit-Led Living, and that's the number 4, Soul Insights for Spirit-Led Living. Or you can find it on my Awakenings Radio Facebook page. Or just Google it, put Soul Insights, and then my name, Michelle Mache, and that'll come up. Let's see, profanities going in the chat. I find that it's far more enlightening to feel the energy another person exudes than to listen to the words of the song they sing. Oh, my God. It is. It's the energy. You're right. It's the energy beyond what is spoken. It's what we feel. And then Tamara's putting, be willing to tell yourself your truth is really up for us all now in a deep way. Ah, I love that. Beautiful. Let's get to callers. Again, if you do have a question or a comment, press 1 on the keypad, and that lets me know that you would like to get on air. And that number is 347-539-5122. Okay, let's get to... Hello, 407-791. Welcome to Awakenings. Hello, 407-791. You're on Awakenings Radio. Okay, well, we'll go to the next one. Well, I hope they didn't get bumped off. If you happen to get bumped off, because sometimes what happens when we have a lot of callers, the bandwidth, not on my computer, but the BTR, that might bump you off. So just come back on. Okay, we have a Skype caller here. I'm wondering, is it Queen? Hello, Skype caller or personal call 1111.
What?
Oh, it's you. You're on air.
Hello?
It's you. You're either calling Skype or personal, it's not showing up as a number. It just says 1111111. So it's you though. You're on air. Welcome.
Hi. Great. Boy, I'm very impressed with you speaking. You're a very inspirational person.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I'm inspired. I've got a lot of inspirational people around me, so, and guides. And so what's your first name?
This is your guest that's coming on later, David Almeida. I'm sorry.
David. Hi, David.
Hi.
Okay.
I thought you knew it was me.
Oh, no, no, yeah. Well, I kind of thought it was you in the back, but I wanted to make sure. So you're going to stick around, but we'll be talking to you in a little bit then.
That's great. I'm looking forward to it.
Me too. Especially the Rosicrucian philosophy. I want to really kind of dive into that. But we'll get there. Okay.
Excellent.
So good to connect. All right. We'll talk to you in a bit.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Good. Oh, we got a little sneak peek. Nice energy. Okay. 661-748. You're
Hello.
On Awakenings Radio.
Hello.
Hello. You're on air.
Oh, Michelle, is that me?
Yes.
Hello?
Me. Who is it?
Oh,
yes, you're on air.
Is James.
Yes.
All right.
Hi, James. Welcome.
How are you?
Question or comment?
Sorry? Yes.
Yes.
I have a,
Did you have a question,
question
or comment?
Yeah, a question, please.
Okay.
Everything you've been discussing is just so relevant today, and you really are a pilot, I find, but... one of these things, a situation, I have a work situation, and I have this boss, this what you were saying before about not having that, I do feel quite raw, and I've been feeling quite raw in this mm-hmm. Relationship for quite a while now, and mm-hmm. I'm finding I think she's a difficult personality or character,
yeah.
The way she relates is quite toxic almost.
Yeah.
So,
power struggle.
It's really uncomfortable, and obviously I've been doing the best to try and live with that. But it's now in a situation. Well, basically, I'm looking at. I just don't think it's going to change or her.
Yeah,
she's going to move. And,
I'm. No. Okay, and here I'm going to tune in. But you brought, and it was on my list to talk about, was the next thing after dreams, relationships. We have so many callers, but so I'm so glad you brought this up. Right now, because there's so much stuff coming up for people, so much in the air, people, especially that are not specifically consciously working on their own healing and working on a path and having really good teachers or, you know, whatever, you know, spiritual counselors, whatever you want to call them, that call people and go, hey, is that a projection or a perception or, you know, your stuff is up. You are going to see more power plays, more power struggles. And I actually did a post. Well, it's coming out of my blog this Friday, my Soul Insights blog, Soul Insights for Spirit-Led Living. So what it is when people are in a power struggle, when they have a power play, when they're trying to overpower someone, they're not connected to their soul gifts. They're not feeling their power. They're not feeling empowered. Mm. It's the same way a bully bullies, right? Because they're not they've been bullied, but they're not feeling empowered. Now, the other thing, though, to know is when we're feeling not powerful, we're not connecting to our power either, our soul gifts.
Mm. Yeah.
So we can sometimes attract people to bully us. So one of the things I feel, because I do feel you'll be changing jobs, I just don't feel immediately. So I don't know what it is, if it's going to take a while for you to find something. So what I would say, and believe me, I've had some situations come up even with where I'm at that I've had to go, ooh, Michelle, you know, what's going on here? Move into your gifts. Those of you that find yourself in power struggles with people, what that is the message from the higher, your higher self in the universe is, and especially toxic relationships, you know, they're channeling, they're toxic themselves, but they're channeling the group toxicity of the astral plane, the emotional body that we're all clearing. So what I suggest is that you know that that's where they're at. What I like to do is I locate that person and I see, okay, this is where they are at on the third, fourth, and fifth dimension. This is where they're at on the earth plane. This is they're acting out from their wounding. Now, what boundaries can I do to not expect so much from them and get more of my needs met elsewhere? And that could be through creativity. That could be more journaling, meditation, going out, dancing more, getting a cappuccino or tea with a friend, going out. But finding emotional sustenance. Because what happens is the person that's doing the power struggle, because they feel powerless, they're trying to tap into your power. They somehow see your light. They may have light too. I've met some people that are very toxic and abusive, but they have so much light, but they just don't see it. They see everybody else's light and gifts, and so they want to.
Yep.
I call it a harpoon. They take a harpoon to try to you know, attack you. So I feel with you, with her, two things: not to take it personally, and I feel somehow you're trying to engage her or get under. Are you trying to get her to understand you?
Look, I do make, I extend, not the olive branch, but I do try and connect.
No, it won't work. You can connect is on the inner plane. And I have some amazing meditations, if I may say so myself, on my YouTube channel, Light Being 21. Or anybody can do it. Just think of the person, just do some light breath work. And connect with that person in the subtle energy and feel them. And what you can do is breathe in, and you breathe into above the crown chakra, so you're accessing the transpersonal chakras, like the eighth and ninth. At least the eighth chakra, you're connecting to your higher self. The ninth, this is important, you're rising above duality. So breathe up there, and then from that, and then you're going to breathe full length of the body, but keep breathing above the crown chakra. And now connect into that person and see that person on a connecting to their higher self. That's where you want to engage them.
Fine.
Because, James, what happens is when it's just like when somebody's angry, it does no good to try to reason with them. When someone is in a power struggle or they're being a bully, they're not going to have it. They're triggered. They're not going to listen to your, you know, wonderful words. And she is very triggered by you for some reason. I can feel it. I feel like the more you try to be nice to her, the more she just goes for you.
I'll just smash it. That's right.
Yeah, exactly. So she's she's very and it's not she's this way at home too. So what is it saying for James? And this is something that you've had in the past too, by the way.
Yeah,
There's a similar pattern here.
You're so right, and that's why I was thinking, goodness, is this like a soul contract thing? You know, what is this situation that's here again? What is this? So
I'm going to tell you something. We cleared soul contracts in 2011. No, your higher self will never have you be in an abusive relationship. It will always see. Those are some little charming things that people made up. We all have these beliefs, like karma, like, oh, you didn't get it right. Now you're on earth because you didn't get it right. That's not true.
Yeah.
We're here to love, express, relate. So,
yep.
You know, our beliefs are going to be updated. So what it is your relating pattern from wounding, from childhood, society. That's, it's not the higher self. It's not God saying you have to be there. So what happened in 2011, we did a major clearing on contracts where we could really look and see what are we acting, you know, what are we signing up for, what are we acting out. So I would say it's relating pattern, and it is going back for you to family, maybe on the feminine side. So what you have to do is, again, even a meditation of saying, this person is lovable and I am lovable beyond my misconceptions or my misdeeds. In other words, connect in the inner plane to the love that is the truth of her, but you've got to set stricter boundaries with the toxicity until she gets help. And you'll see, call me, because I'm going to give you 2 weeks. If you do what I'm suggesting, you'll see a dramatic shift. I mean, she won't be your best buddy, but she'll relax. Because, see, the other thing is when people are doing power struggles, they know they're messed up, but they're looking over. It's like somebody dieting, you know, that says I'm not going to overeat or whatever. I'm just going to use that as an example. They're looking at the person at the next table that's eating the salad and they're eating a huge chocolate cake. That person thinks they're all that, right? All that person is. No, it's you're upset with yourself because you're so she knows. So when you try to talk to her, you're putting like pins in her, and she's just going to attack or be snarky. And you will move on. There will be something else, but not quite yet. Not quite yet. You're mastering this.
I think you're right. That's right. I'm living the dream. No, you're right. I will. You're right. I will. It is. It will be a good little learning curve, and I will learn to master that and employ those. I guess those tools that you've given me just now. So
we all have it right now, and it's only so we love and accept ourselves more and others, and we don't require others what they can't give us. See, that's the thing, and I learned over the years, not just from my metaphysical training, but my psychological and counselor training is. I think what messes us all up, whether it's family relationships or, you know, partners, lovers, husband, wife, whatever, especially in the workforce, is we somehow start changing, get better, healthier, we get more connected to our soul or higher self, and we somehow think others should. But the thing is, they're not on the same path. So really it's up to us not to expect from others what they can't give. We have to. That's where we have to have compassion. It's like you're not going to give an 11-year-old the keys to your car. Don't give someone that's very triggered and living out of their womb, don't give them the keys to your emotional body and your heart. Don't, you know, you love them, but don't give that power over. And step into your art more. I want to say to you, step into your art more. All right, James, thanks for calling in. That you really sparked. This is a good one because it was on my list. Oh my God!
Excellent.
Thank you.
Thank you for that. Looking forward to sharing.
Yeah, and keep us posted. We'll want to know. Believe me, everybody will want to know. Yeah, and let us know how it shifted.
Certainly will.
All right. Blessings.
Thanks, Michelle. Bye.
Bye. Oh, I love it. I love it. That was. Spirit working through in the questions. Hi, 812-654, you're on Awakenings.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi. Yeah.
Hi, it's Suzanne.
Oh, hey, Suzanne. Good to call you.
Hi.
Contact with you. Hi.
Yeah. I wasn't sure. I think Mom's listening, too, so I wasn't sure if she was going to come through or if it's my turn because we're both the same.
Oh, okay, good. Hi, Marjorie. Okay, good.
I just kind of wanted to know, you know, it's almost my birthday, you know, and everything, and you said something would be happening closer to my birthday. Well, me and Augusta mm-hmm. are going to CCJ on the 20th of this month.
Okay.
And
okay.
I was kind of wondering if that was going
to
be it.
I know the question. It has to do with romance. It's romance. It's showing yes, but it's showing first. It either is a friend comes in first or there's going to be a friendship with this individual. And I feel, are you near farms by any chance or fields? And there could be something with dairy truck, some kind of truck. I'm seeing a white truck that I'm feeling
okay.
He's driving.
Yeah.
You know what it is?
Well,
I see a long I see a long road, and then I see, like, I don't know what it is, like roads. You know how they have out in the fields, they have those irrigation systems? I can see, like, a little sprayer going around.
Okay. Well, a while back, you had said that you weren't sure, you know, about a name or anything, but you thought it ended in, like, an Airy, like Gary, Jerry, Mary, or Larry, or
mm-hmm.
probably a Mary.
Right.
But, you know, one of those.
Mm.
But.
Okay.
You said it would probably be in a white truck, but maybe a blue stripe or something.
Oh, so maybe it's him driving. Okay, well, the truck is. You know what I love, too, psychically, when we get closer to the manifestation happening, we get closer to things happening. Because I always say when you're reading something, especially if it's a destiny issue, it hangs over. I don't know if anybody's ever been to those packing stores or like a UPS or where you mail stuff. And above where they do the packing, they have this big, what is it, like a chute, and it has all those little, what is it, the peanuts, the little
yeah.
styrofoam things, and then they pull it and it comes down and goes in the box.
Uh-huh.
Well, we're all kind of like that. Etherically, stuff hangs around us. It starts taking form, right? Sacred geometry, mathematical, there's that, the sound, the wavelength, it starts taking form. It's there etherically, sometimes astrally, etherically, and then as things shift on the denser level, then boom, it comes down just like those peanuts.
Mm-hmm.
Boom, there it is. So I do feel I do feel it's closer. I feel Carlene, CJ, there's something around school and her moving, or you're going to help her, and it is on a visit that you meet him, and there is. It could be your daughter with you. I feel food
yeah,
around
Augusta's
it. You maybe
going.
You stopped
yeah.
to get. Oh, she okay.
Yeah.
Let's see. Is it going to be this time? But you're going to be back and forth for a while, right? Because she's
yeah.
moving out of the area, right?
Well, her lease is up in September, so she's going to have to move out of that apartment. But she feels that her and Michael are going to stay in that area a little bit because she wants to go back to school. And he says he has this awesome job, which he could get one of those anywhere because of what he's doing. You know, so
mm-hmm.
we're kind of coaxing her to come a little closer, but I don't think it's going
to
happen.
No,
but we will
because you meet him
move.
Out that way. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's on that trip. So it's twofold. You're going to keep in contact with her, be close with her. And meet him out that way.
Uh-huh. Okay, well.
I don't know if it's this exact one. It could be. I feel like it's you're very close. But, it won't surprise me. I mean, there's divine, you know, timings all can be a little. I mean, sometimes I've seen things I've thought of is a month off, and then I get a call from somebody or an email saying, it happened yesterday. It happened just after I hung up with you or. You know, they did call, or the job came through. So,
yeah.
But you're on the right track, and I do see her staying out in that area because you're having to drive a distance. I feel.
Oh yeah.
He's not
it's
in
a two-hour
York.
Drive.
He's not in. Oh, yeah. See, and that's why you probably stop, get something to eat. And he's traveling, too. There's something, there's an interconnecting on this road, you know. Once had a reading with someone where I kept seeing them interconnecting, and I said it's like one street meets another one. It's like there's this interconnection. And she actually met the man she ended up marrying was literally an interconnection of them walking on the street with their dog. He was going one way, she was going another, and they stopped to talk, and then they saw each other later. But there was this literal, you know, it wasn't just figurative, you know, psychic, this interconnection. It was a literal connecting point.
Right.
So, you know, that happens, right, etherically. It happens metaphysically, and then we live it out physically. So what is, let's see, Suzanne, need to do me this guy. Boyfriend, let's see. Yeah, it's closer. It's closer. Could be a few months. It's something with the move, so it may be when you're helping the move.
Okay.
All I know is her move somehow is critical to it. Her
okay.
move has a, wherever she's moving, that's the piece. Because he's in between there and where you live.
Okay.
Okay. I got to go to the next call because we also have a couple other. I hope your mom presses. If your mom's calling in, if she presses 1 to get on air.
Okay.
So that I know what the number is. All right. Blessings.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Hi, 646-824. You're on Awakenings Radio. Welcome to the program.
It's Earth Mom. So nice to hear you, lovely Michelle.
You too. Who is? Oh, Earth Mom, how are you?
Yeah, yeah.
Welcome.
I'm okay. I'm a bit frustrated. So the info you were giving about relationships, call before last helped. I guess there's someone that I care for a lot. That doesn't seem to be moving. And then there's other people that I sort of work with, and they don't respond to things. And I'm just so frustrated at the moment.
Okay. You're not getting the response that you want, is what I'm hearing. Let me see what's going on here. Well, similar to where I talked to the other caller, not to expect so much, and I keep hearing with you, branch out, spread out. So sometimes people don't necessarily recognize our gifts, our light. That are too close to us, or they're just see things differently. It's you know, it's kind of like shoes or clothing. Everybody has a different style. You know, you might go shopping with a friend of yours, and they're like, "I love this. This is great." And you look at it, and you go, "Oh, that's a gray sweater." You know. You really need to find. And I think this is with so many right now. We were for so long taught to be that. Square peg in the round hole and try to make it fit. You know, the new emerging consciousness is really not about that. The new paradigm is like fit where you can. If it's not fitting, just let it be or let it fit how it fits and then move on. You know, seek others that fit better. And I feel you're being kind of pushed into that. The other thing is to get out of not only your own way, but your area where you live. Is there some other area that you've been thinking about going to work-wise? I don't know if it's living, but I feel like, what is that? That you need to go, you need to follow through on your intuition on that.
Well, where I live, I mean, I'm here now. I'm in New Jersey. I'm like 7 miles from the George Washington Bridge, but everything I do is in Manhattan. And just being here is just rough.
You're in the wrong. Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know where to go. I mean, ideally it would be Manhattan or maybe Brooklyn. I haven't had the resources to do it, to make that change. So
find a way, though. Okay. See, that's what's being co-created then. That's the co-creation with you and these other people. There's like this, it's trapped, not working, I can't get out. What I suggest in those times is to really intentionalize the move, visualize it, and start doing active steps to bridge. Either spend more time in Brooklyn, spend if Manhattan's way out of reach, spend more time in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, bookstores, cafes, do some things. Just whatever you can do, museums, walking around, hanging out, if you can do some workshops or something. Be more there where you want to be, and then release the hold on where you are to try to make it be what it is that you want. You have to accept it for what it is and work with whatever's there. And also move into gratitude, like,
Oh, no, I've been trying to. As a matter of fact, I'm cleaning out a room that should have been cleaned out years ago, and I'm taking care of that today and just cleaning out
Perfect.
And moving stuff.
And really, don't forget in your meditations, you know, the power of meditation, the power of prayer, energy work, that when you're in that expanded state, when you're really connected into the subtle energy of acknowledging what you have, you know, putting your request
yeah.
in, saying, "This has served me, this is great. However, I want B. I'm at A. A is wonderful, but I want to go over here." But your thing is, I really feel there's something else that's blocking, and we don't have time to get full on into, you know,
yeah.
going into
yeah.
that. But that's really what's going on. It's that trust and belief in yourself and getting the support. You know, every time I'm making big decisions in my life, I work with somebody. I seek somebody, you know, so I'm not one of those, you know, spiritual counselors or psychologists or transpersonal therapists, you know, psychic, whatever, with all the stuff that I
mm-hmm.
do that
mm-hmm.
I landed and now I don't do any work on myself. I daily work
yeah.
on myself. And when I find that there's a direction I want to go in, but I'm fearful or there's not enough money or resources or support,
mm-hmm.
I have to look at how come I'm stopping myself, because the world is abundant. So it's either more healing or a learning lesson, or you're about to connect with someone where you are, just say, or, you know, but you've got to find that out. And yours is, I feel you really need to set the intention that this is what you want, no, even though it's scary, no matter what, even if you feel like you can't do it or not good enough or how am I going to do this, and you have to get the support. So one way you can also do it, this is for everyone, a very inexpensive way to get support is obviously shows like this, the Facebook, Twitter, all of the
mm-hmm.
online stuff. But then going to where you want to be and actually just walking around so that you get more in resonance to where you want to be. Being around those people, even if you don't talk to them. But surely, after a while, oh, hi, how are you? You know, you meet people around there. So you do have to, especially right now, astrologically, with all these squares that are happening at Uranus and Aries, Pluto and Capricorn, it's, you know, the Saturn and Scorpio getting to the deeper meaning for all of us, the deeper fulfillment.
Mm-hmm.
Those squares are about action. So you have to do some action towards what it is that you want to do. Otherwise, it's just not going to happen. So, yeah. So get over there. Get over there more physically. All right, sweetie? And then
yeah.
keep us posted. Let us know how you're doing.
Will do. Thank you so much.
All right. All right. Big hug.
Thanks.
Okay. We've got time for one more quick call, and then we have our Awakened guest coming on. 210-745, welcome to Awakenings Radio.
Hello.
Hello. What's your question?
Hi. My question is right in sync with your last caller's explanation. As I'm considering entering a new career field, this
okay.
fall, and I one of your suggestions was to kind of immerse yourself in that area, which I can do.
God.
And I'm thinking I have an opportunity before the school closes down to take one 10-month course. They're only offering one left. It's on commercial design, and I just wondered how you saw that resonated with me. I've never worked
okay.
in this field, but I have family members
calling
who have.
You. Mm-hmm. But it's also been, you feel like there's a foundation there. It's been calling you. And what is it, design? What kind of?
It's commercial interior design.
Okay. Well, I'm hearing definitely take the course. You might do it differently than what you learn or what others are doing. There's a bit of an intuitive kind of healing quality to you, also working with colors. But it is showing go in that direction. And I do feel there's some people you'll meet, new friends, collegial. There's Is it over a hill or a bridge or something? I keep seeing you. It's a ways from where you're at, right? It's a bit of a drive.
Yes, at least 45 yeah. minutes.
Yeah, that's
one direct,
it. Okay.
One direction.
Good. And give me your first name, please.
Cheryl.
Okay, Cheryl. Okay. How would this be for Cheryl? Well, the guides are saying yes, and they're saying follow your inner prompting. Yeah,
okay.
I feel like it's going to be more than just the career. I feel like there's some other, like, new life. You know, feeling more alive and new life for you there. So
okay.
Let us know how you do, will you? Keep us posted.
So does it look, do you see dollar signs? Does it look lucrative?
Well, it looks good on all levels, but I feel like it's more, you might be thinking it's about just the money, but I feel like there's more that you're going to get out of it.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. All right, Cheryl, thanks for calling in.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Keep us posted. It's more than about the dollars, remember, Cheryl, but keep us posted. And everybody, it's, you know, if you're really on track with your higher self, it's going to bring you more than just, it's going to bring you energy abundance. It's going to be bring you resources energetically, and that'll take a lot of different forms. All right. So get comfy, get your tea, get whatever. We have second half of our program. We have David Almeida, who's a spiritualist and researcher of Rosicrucian philosophy and esoteric knowledge. He's also a past article contributor to the Sedona Journal of Emergence, as well as other New Age magazines. He's also earned the title Board Certified Hypnotherapist and Reiki Healer. And his recent book is The First Truth, a book of metaphysical theories and illusion of the body. Welcome to the program. Welcome, David.
Oh, hi, Michelle.
Hi. Great to connect.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me on the show.
Oh, yeah. Well, first off, I usually like to get to the awakening and how you got on the path, but I'm also, we're going to do a little, we'll jog there a little bit and then get into this body alive principle, which sounds very interesting how that came about.
Mm-hmm.
So how did your path unfold?
You know, it was really interesting. I guess when I was a child, the world just seemed somewhat different to me. I don't know what it was, but there was something about it. And as I got older, it kind of became difficult for me in school. But I really didn't have my awakening until I was 40.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a few years ago. So,
but
it was at
that
time that I guess I knew all along. You know, I had been with a Rosicrucian order, and I had been studying this material for so long. And it never really connected with me. I never understood. You know, it's interesting that it's really not an intellectual pursuit. It's more of a, I don't know.
Can you explain a little bit of the background of the Rosicrucian philosophy and where it came from? I know a lot of people talk Rosicrucian, Freemasonry, that this, and I don't know if Rosicrucian is also part of a secret society. I know it's not broadly out there. You have to kind of, you know, seek it out. Although I know there is a center in Southern California. But what is the Rosicrucian philosophy? What's it based on?
Well, they're a mystical order. They study metaphysics. They study consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they study metaphysical philosophy and they study metaphysical science. And a lot of their members are, they're mathematicians. I met an astrophysicist, you know, those types of people
mm-hmm.
who kind of want to remain anonymous.
Mm-hmm. So it's more metaphysically definitely based in the esoteric, I'm thinking like White Eagle. I mean, there's a lot of groups that, but where does the information, where are they saying that the information comes from or the basic of the philosophy?
Well, the order that I belong to, without, you know, mentioning names, they cite ancient Egypt, you know, as their source, you know, the mystery schools, and it kind of moved along from there into the Middle Ages with Christian Rosenkreuz, who was, I suppose, the father of the Rosicrucians, and, you know, right on up to present day. So.
Ah, okay, okay. So just to give, I want to get a better picture and let our listeners get a better picture. So you said growing up you kind of always knew something or had some type of awareness. And so then what happened at 40? What you said that awakening happened at 40. How did that awakening happen for you? What form did it take?
It was really exciting. I moved to a new state, and things just started happening. And some of it was very bizarre, and I started having experiences that really just struck me. You know, I guess a lot of people have had this experience where you wake up. I guess that's a good word for it. And it's really
did
amazing.
Did you feel differently? Did you see the world differently? Did you feel differently? How did it manifest for you?
You do see the world differently. You know, you see the, I don't want to exactly say the illusion of reality, because certainly all of the material world is real, but you kind of see beyond it. You see what the truth is. You see the greater environment, the greater universe, and what's in it, and how things really are.
So like the underpinning of the world, in a way.
Right.
Right. Interesting. So from that point on, you began studying more of the philosophy?
I drifted away from the Rosicrucians, because it seemed like as I was reading along and studying for years, I realized that I already knew this information, and it just wasn't serving me well to continue that way. I knew that information, I guess, from a past life.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting, a lot of the esoteric principles, and I studied quite a few different orders in England, they all do have similar underpinnings, and there's kind of a filtering, I feel, of the Christian mysticism, Judeo-Christian, you know, that kind of goes through that. I find a little bit of that filtering. So if you left that, how did you get, because I want to touch on the body alive principle, and then also the past life personality that you work with, that A.E. Waite, which I want to see, how does that... Well, what is the body alive principle, and how does that tie in with A.E. Waite?
Well, it was when I started writing, that's when I realized that A.E. Waite was with me, and it was really interesting. The information that I was getting was something that I never would have thought of, and I just, you know, that basically the body alive principle is about treating your cells and your organs and your systems as having consciousness and, you know, with their own personalities and intelligence in whatever form that may be. And, you know, they are the little minds, and you are the super mind, and you communicate with them to keep your body balanced and healthy.
So it would be, so let me understand you. When you first just started writing, so something drew you to this body alive principle. You're getting this information on that, and then you realize that it's A.E. Waite was with you while you were writing. Is that what I'm understanding to be true?
Right, and you know, I had started that before I moved to my new location, and I had begun writing it, and that was before I even realized that he was there. And as I moved along, I joined a spiritualist church, and the mediums there, the pastor, they would bring up the fact that Arthur was present, and he was always commenting on the books, you know, various aspects of it, the footnotes, and that's all he's really ever done. Is he's only been interested in the books for the most part. He's never talked about himself or you know, things that I would like to know.
Mm-hmm. So how did you know that there was this entity and who said it, the name was A.E. Waite?
Well, it was the first time I went to the spiritualist church, and I was having a private reading with the pastor, a mini reading, and she said, there's an author here. And I had no idea, so I went home and I started asking my family members, and, you know, I was looking it up on the internet, and then I saw his name, and it hit me like lightning, and I said, it's A.E. Waite. So I went back to have another reading, and I said, is this Arthur Edward Waite? And she looked away for a moment, and she said, does he swing back and forth between, you know, good and bad? And I don't know a lot about him, but I knew that part of it at that time. And I said, yes. And then she said, yes, that's him. And ever since then, for the past couple of years, since I've, you know, been in the presence of mediums, he's regularly shown up. He never misses an opportunity.
I love it. But you had, which was interesting, but you were already starting to write the book.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that was before
that was
before I knew he was present.
Mm-hmm. And is he what introduced you to the body alive principle, or were you already starting that?
I guess it was coming to me at the time, as I said, before I even knew he was there, because it was about halfway through when I moved that I realized, when I went to this church, that he was there. And that he had been there all along, according to these mediums.
Had been what? Okay, so maybe you were coming there. Yeah.
So.
Oh, Tamara is asking, when is the right question about his book, Illusion of the Body? In your book, you say integrity is key. Can you tell a little bit about what this means to you? Oh, that's interesting, because we've been talking a lot about integrity and honesty and truth. So. What a wonderful synchronicity. Could you touch on that?
You know, that
David,
that's a fantastic point.
Yeah,
you
say integrity is key. How is that key?
Well, if you don't mind me getting into the meaning of life, I think it's about learning and improving.
Yeah.
And then that's what we do here with our experiences. We learn with them. And, you know, integrity is one of those things that you develop at some point, you will, throughout your one of your lives, hopefully, and, you know, that pushes you forward into higher spiritual growth, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, integrity is one of those things that, you know, you may fall off the wagon, but you always have a good intention. It's because you do the best as you can. We are going to make those so-called mistakes, and, you know, I think it's important to just realize that integrity isn't this high standard that you're going to be at all the time. It's something that it's an intention. It's something that you strive for.
Mm-hmm. So it's that wholeness. So what does integrity mean to you? What is, got another question there. And why is it so important?
Well, I think that, for me, I've had times when I wished I had, you know, those things that you regret, and
mm-hmm.
you know, at some point you realize that you really want to do better for yourself. You want to make this life worthwhile. You want to do something. You know, you want to treat people with the golden rule. You know, respect
mm-hmm.
those higher values. Those things that, like I said, push you forward into spiritual growth and development.
Mm-hmm. Do you think we're moving more into that? I mean, do you think that that's going to be more, you know, more and more understood and experienced?
You know, these aren't things that Arthur talks to me about. These are my own opinions, and if you're asking me about the global transformation, I know that it's upon us, just like everybody else probably listening to the show realizes. But I do see, you know, if you look at the world, there are a lot of things happening right now that aren't so, that we would see as not so good. And my sense is that it takes, that conflict is sometimes good, and stress a moderate amount, because it helps you grow. And I think that there may be some hard times ahead, and I think ultimately that I do believe in a great awakening at some point.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Now, I want to go back to, just for a minute here, the book, Illusion of the Body, Introducing the Body Alive Principle. Both of them are good. There's The First Truth, A Book of Metaphysical Theories, and then Illusion of the Body, Introducing the Body Alive Principle. What's a good first book for people? That's another question
I think
coming
that
in.
The, sorry, I think that Illusion of the Body is probably more fun for people. I think it's easier to read. It's practical. It gives you something to work with to, you know, keep yourself in a healthy state. The First Truth is really, it's very deep metaphysical theories, and, you know, I love it, but that's what I'm interested in. And if you have a foundation in metaphysics, a basic foundation, I think that you'll like it.
Okay.
I have at least maybe 60 articles on the internet all over the place that people can look at before they buy the book if they want to see what I write about and my style and, you know, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. But another question in the chat. In your book, Illusion of the Body, you say we must eliminate guilt. How do you suggest going about this?
Well, I think that I'm kind of funny about these things about conflict and stress and guilt, because I do think that guilt is useful at times. I think it teaches us something, and it maybe keeps us from repeating the same mistakes. I think guilt that you hold on to over the long term, that needs to be resolved at some point during your life. You don't want to bring that into the next world. You don't want those regrets. And, you know, I think there's a lot of ways to do it. I think that people need to take responsibility for what they've done in their life, and that's what I've done. And, you know, start releasing it. There's a few steps in the book that tell people how to...
In the body alive?
Right.
In the body alive, okay.
So, you know, there's something in there for the readers to go by, you know, to help them with that.
Mm. So let me... So go back to this. We got another... What exactly is the theory of the book? That's the next question. Because you say illusion of the body.
Right. It's just that it's called panpsychic healing. It's based on panpsychism, which is the theory that everything in the universe has consciousness, right down to the very atoms. That, you know, all these things are part of the universal consciousness, and therefore they would have consciousness themselves. And, you know, if we respect all of life and all these things that we use here, I think we would, you know, have a better relationship with God and with our environment and each other.
You always say we're consciousness made manifest, you know, it's all consciousness. And what, so in saying that with the body, is it really about really understanding the body or connecting in with the body as consciousness?
Yes, it's you. It's your own consciousness, the I am, connecting with these little minds, the smaller parts of your that, and they're really not little minds, of course, because consciousness really has no size exactly. And consciousness can fit into any physical form, but you are connecting with these smaller minds and you know, working with them.
So
with
the
positive,
cells would be a smaller mind then. The cells would be a smaller mind.
Well, again, you know, I think that consciousness really doesn't have a size or a form or any shape or substance, and I think that consciousness can fit into any size.
Yeah.
So they're really not, I mean, I guess we would feel big to ourselves, but I don't think that there's really any difference.
Right, right. And so this relationship would be for, I'm just thinking, healing. Oh, and let me say yes. Anybody, if you do have a question for David, you can call in at 347-539-5122 and press 1 on the keypad if it's related to the topic that we're talking about now. Yeah, okay. Sorry about that. I had somebody just tweet me. Can we ask questions of the guests? Okay.
We love questions.
Yeah, they do. Oh, yeah, we've got a very participating group.
Great, I love it.
That listens in. And so, okay, now another question coming in here. Oh, what are, I've got a couple questions here. Oh, okay. Somebody already just bought your book. I think that some other people have, too. It sounds like they've read them. But
great,
already,
thank you.
There are Reiki healer, and wondering if you use that in the work that you do. I'm also a Reiki healer and looking to combine that with some other type of discipline. Not sure.
Well, I
question, but
okay. I'm all for energy healing. I think that it's a fantastic way to work with people, and it's so different from the pharmaceutical angle. So I've experimented with Reiki, and it's interesting because when I, at night, when the room is dark, I see energy. I see atoms, little flecks of light that fill the room. Most people see an empty room, but I see,
the energy's there.
I've used Reiki on my wife, and I would channel that energy that I can see right into her, and she would feel the warmth, just moving through her body and making her feel better with her conditions and whatnot. So I do see it. I physically see this energy going into the person using Reiki, and it's interesting. I like it a lot.
Good. You like the combination then? You're finding that works.
I even like using hypnosis with Reiki. Just going through a relaxation script with the person, progressive relaxation or some kind of muscle relaxation or anything that works with the person. You would talk to them ahead of time and find out what works with them. And when you get them relaxed, I would start using the Reiki at that point, and they work very well together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So somebody, the Arthur E. Waite, they're asking, is this from the Rider Waite tarot deck? Which it is.
Yes.
So I would imagine. Yeah. So, do you do tarot yourself? Do you work with tarot?
No. My mother, she did tarot cards with her friends, entertainment wise. And when I was a child, I would go to school and I would bring the tarot cards and I would do readings for the teachers out of the book. But I never really knew who A.E. Waite was, and I was never really interested in knowing at the time. But I do have some experience, some background in that, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. So, I know it always amazes me when you look back over your life, you'll see the little sprinkles, the little interconnecting, like, of course, you went in this direction. It's fascinating to see that the web, the weave in the web. So how do you meditate and he comes through? That's one question. And then another is what kind of relationship do you have, or how would you characterize your relationship with Arthur Edward Waite or A.E. Waite?
Well, you know, I've been trying to
tarot.
With, you know, I don't. I'm not particularly interested in the tarot, and the reason for that is that was in a past life, and you know, you don't usually repeat what you've done before. This is a new life, and I have new challenges and missions to accomplish. But that doesn't mean I think that there's anything wrong with the tarot or that they don't have a place, you know, with us. I think they're very meaningful. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, that was Arthur's thing. Arthur is a different person from me.
Mm-hmm.
And
no, I'm just saying that he's of the tarot, I mean, best known for. So that wasn't the question. The question is, characterize your relationship with you, or how would you characterize it? I'm just saying for our listeners, because a lot of people are coming in now and they may not know who he is or what we're talking about. So if you could just share a little bit with us about your relationship with him, or how it unfolds, or, you know, does he share things with you to write, or how does he come through?
Well, he's...
Oh, and I've got another question, too. Okay, go ahead.
He tends to come through when I'm writing. You know, I've seen him as... I can only explain him as lines in the air. You know, I don't see him as a person, but he shows up once in a while, especially when I'm discussing metaphysics with somebody or topics for my book. I'll see him occasionally. He gives me... you know, sometimes I'll get stuck when I'm writing on a word. I'll be trying to find a particular word to put in a sentence, and then I'll get some strange word that I've never heard of in my head, and I'll have to go to the internet and look it up to see what it is. And then a lot of times I notice it doesn't fit the sentence, and I'll realize that he was putting that in my head, and I'll have to say, no, that doesn't work. We can't use that. and I know there
so
was one
this,
other
another-
time.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
There was another occasion
another
when...
Uh-huh. Go ahead. We've
there
got
was
a
another
delay.
Occasion
Go ahead.
Do
you have
another...
Okay. Go
ahead. He actually came through a medium, and I realized that he had wanted me to start his Fellowship of the Rosy Cross, and that didn't work. You know, I didn't want to do that. That was his dream, I guess. And sometimes your past life personalities will try to push their agenda on you, and you have to realize that this is your life, you know, and you have your life to live.
So what would you say your primary mission is? What is your mission?
I really think it has a lot to do with awakenings, with this great awakening and this paradigm shift that we've been talking about. I think that we need to be available to help people in their awakenings without pushing our, you know, our own beliefs on them. And that's how I see this working with anybody, with you or I or anyone else that's involved in, that's awakened, basically, that I think that there's some... I don't want to say that we have a responsibility to do this, but I think that it's, you know, that we should be available for people to assist them.
To kind of assisting, yeah. And I do agree with you as far as there's so many, you know, the awakening, there's the aspect of the converging flow that we're in right now where the awakening is happening in all sectors, you know, and has been. It's been happening, you know, many years, since late 80s, I mean, more prevalent, but... and it is, you know, I think sometimes, you know, people may forget that, so it's a good point to bring up, David, is that everyone, it doesn't happen cookie cutter. Everyone's a little bit different, or their path, or maybe someone is in the financial sector, or the education sector, and their awakening work there, assisting in the change of the systems and... where would you, obviously healing, I want to hear for you, where do you feel that your assistance is, or what gives you joy? What aspect of the awakening gives you joy to assist people in?
Okay, well, for me, it's just definitely in passing on information that I have, that I've received from outside of myself, that I think will help other people. And you know, that's why I write these books, and that's why I write and distribute articles on the internet about what I've learned. And really, mm-hmm. A lot of people have different places for themselves in this thing, but that's mine.
Mm-hmm. So do you get a joy out of the writing? Do you feel fulfilled and assisting in that way, and obviously talking as well, sharing?
I do, because I guess that's what's been given to me, and I think that I have some kind of a responsibility to use what I've been given.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I like that. I think in many ways, and I think what you're saying is bringing it up, is that you do get a call. There's kind of a call to one's purpose, and there is a responsibility, an ability to respond,
Right, and I do feel that, it's great that a person can find their mission in life and their purpose and be able to follow that path. Hopefully that's what everybody would be able to do at some point.
Mm-hmm. And I think we're setting the template for that. Yeah, I think we're setting the, the template of that happening. And I think it's, I don't know your thoughts on it, but do you find it? I think it's easier as more people are living that way or waking up. I think it literally and tacitly gives people a chance to do it themselves,
Right, and I think once you've found that calling, I think life is more fulfilling, and you're going to be more effective in life. You'll have that passion that people just need to be vital and live
mm-hmm.
with that energy.
Mm-hmm. More vital. And we have Profundity is saying in the chat, to do or say something each day that helps this one person can be very spiritually rewarding. Yeah, I believe that as well. Your thoughts, David, on obviously assisting or being of service, how important do you feel that is on the path?
I think that the greatest thing a person can ever do is to serve others. And, I think that, and I'm working on that myself. I think that's, an ongoing process. We are human and we're always trying to improve ourselves. But being of service to others is really important, and there's many ways to do it.
Mm-hmm. What if, one of the people a lot of times that, I'm so busy, how can I help others, What do you think of that adage of, in helping yourself, you're helping others, or people that are, healing, self-healing? What's your thought on that?
Well, I do comment in my book that you do need to put yourself first, and that's not being selfish, because if you can't heal yourself and be healthy and, be able to function in life, you can't help other people. So
mm-hmm.
you need to put yourself first.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. And what are some of the ways that people can do that?
I think a person would really need to check in with themselves and see what it is missing in their lives and, kind of account for those things and work on them. Just, you don't need to mm-hmm. take a big bite out of the apple. Just maybe cut it up into slices or something and just work on one thing at a time.
Mm. Okay, we've got another question coming in I'm on Amazon right now. Oh, why you call it the illusion of the body? Do you believe that the body is an illusion?
No, I don't believe the body is an illusion, just like reality itself. Physical reality is not an illusion, but at the same time, when you have your awakening, you do see it differently. You do see that there's more to it than what the physical senses can perceive. So, the body mm-hmm. itself, having consciousness, all its individual parts and cells, that's the thing that we don't see. So it is sort of an illusion in that sense.
Mm-hmm. Okay, here's another one coming in. So a lot of stuff with physical disorders. Can that be helped? We got two questions, and then second part, recently in a traumatic car accident. I'm nervous when I drive. Something with a bridge, going over a bridge. Can this help with that? I never had this before, my accident is what they're stating. So can this be used for physical ails?
I'm not here to give out medical advice, I do encourage people to, you know, go to their doctor and do what they're supposed mm-hmm. to do. But yes, this does help.
Right.
I think that it is within us to heal. There's been all kinds of studies out there and all kinds of people that have done amazing things with their bodies and that have overcome major disabilities. So, you know, and this illusion of the body, this body alive principle works with your mind. It's really all about your mind, the super mind. It's about using positive commands to, you know, have these little minds heal themselves and heal your body. So I think it can work with anything if you put your mind to it.
Mm. Okay, so it's a good tool for people then, is what I'm hearing you say.
I've used it with other people, and
had good results.
Yes.
Good. All right, David, we're winding out of time here. I just want to let people know that are listening now and that will be listening later via iTunes and archives that they can find out more information about you as well as the Body Alive Principle at bodyaliveprinciple.com. Do you have your other book there? And, of course, in your books are The First Truth, A Book of Metaphysical Theories, and Illusion of the Body, Introducing the Body Alive Principle. Thank you so much for being on the program, David. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate you allowing me to share with your readers and you.
Yeah, that's great. All right. And thank you, listeners, for being a part of Awakenings Radio. I would say listener participants. I love our times together. And we're going to play a little bit of Sister Shree, who was on last week, to play out. And again, our guest was David Almeida, the author of Illusion of the Body, Introducing the Body Alive Principle, and The First Truth, A Book of Metaphysical Theories. Much peace. Wonderful to connect with everyone. Continue to share your light, share your insight, and of course, keep awake.
Awakenings broadcasts every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific Time. Archive shows are available on iTunes. For continued awakened conversation and insights, join the Awakenings group on Facebook and visit Michelle's blog at soulinsightsforspiritledliving.com. That's soulinsights, 4, spiritledliving.com. Keep awake.